are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer in San Antonio. Glad to have you back. And the Spurs will play tonight versus the Timberwolves. Hopefully they'll get back on the winning track. Got slaughtered in the last couple of games, so good luck to them. And by now, you've probably seen so many previews out there. You know, we're not going to give you another one. We're going to be continuing our chat about the quarter point of the season. Yesterday, or a couple of days ago, we did just generic overview. And then yesterday, we focused on the center position. Fortunately, it paid out because that was pre-recorded. So we looked pretty good in that episode. But today, we're going to be focusing on the guards. How do the guards look at this quarter point of the season? I know it's a little past that, but you know, you get where we're going. How's DeJounte faring? What about Derek? What about Patty Mills, et cetera, et cetera? There's always, you know, the Spurs have a lot of combo guards, so we're going to have to filter out who's who for purposes of this episode. And also, what felt like we were witnessing Bigfoot speak for the first time and captured him on film or something, Luka Šamanić spoke with media yesterday out in Orlando at the G League bubble, and he had quite the interesting things to say. He did touch on the naysayers, so we're going to be discussing Luka's thoughts about his play, his development, and hear a little bit from him as well. And you know, he was so good yesterday, we had to bring him back. Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter, is back for another round of Locked On Spurs. Casey, welcome back.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Can you believe Luka spoke?
No. I cannot.
That ghost. Like, oh yeah, there's yeah. There, you know.
I know. I mean, I don't know what was more surprising: the fact that he spoke, or there was a reasonable contingent that came out to see him speak.
There was,
Right?
There was, yeah.
A reasonable contingent.
Yeah.
They want to know what's. Well, they're just see that this guy is alive and happy and healthy. You know, we don't even hear anything about this dude anymore. So just trying to see the bare minimum.
Yeah,
but we'll definitely got some good stuff out of it though.
Got some good stuff. We'll discuss him in the second segment of the show. Let's dive into the meat of this episode, and that is the quarter point grading or review of the Spurs guards. Now the Spurs guards aren't too shabby. You know, DeJounte Murray is playing good. Got Patty Mills coming off that bench still being, you know, Patty Mills, and occasionally we get the FIBA Patty. And you have Derek White, who's injury plagued, but he's back. And then you got all these combo guards. Casey, let's just, for purposes of this, who are we including in the guard?
Okay, so why don't you want to narrow it down to, we'll go DeJounte,
check.
Derek White.
Check. Patty.
Patty.
Throwing Lonnie
DeJounte, Derek
there?
White. Yeah. I knew I was forgetting one. I was like, wait a minute. Lonnie. Okay, so we'll narrow it down to Murray, White, Patty Mills, and Lonnie.
Yeah. And, right? you know, for full disclosure, we know we're well aware that occasionally Keldon Johnson is slotted at the guard spot, or, you know, so we're going to save him for the forward spot. And
we're going the positions that are more definitive and less, I guess, flexible.
No slight against Trey Jones, but we want to keep him off this list simply because we don't have a sample size.
We'll just
keep him off the list. So, but good luck to him in Austin. Hopefully he'll.
Come back, play well in Austin, come back at the end of the year, and then get a grade from Locked On Spurs. I know that's the main thing you're looking to achieve, right?
Of course. That's what's motivating him out in Orlando right now.
Right.
All right. Let's go to
dive in. Luka doing the same thing.
Yeah. Let's dive right into this. So, you know, based on those, four, not bad. Is there a weak link in the chain? Of course there is. We all know who that is. But let's start off with the old man. Let's get the age before beauty or age before youth going, and that is Patty Mills. You know, one thing he made very clear this offseason is that he still has plenty left in the tank. He told that to GQ Australia, that his prime days are here and he's going to take full advantage of them. And so far, we've seen that. Patty Mills has been perhaps one of the most consistent Spurs this season, coming off that bench, It's not a compliment to have double figure scoring 10 or more points. I believe, I'll check in a bit, but he's on a streak right now of scoring in double figures in about 6 or 7 games in a row. Deadly from three. One of the better, believe it or not, Casey, at least the numbers show it, better defender, one of the better ones on the team as far as taking charges, actually rebounding. The Spurs actually, your defensive rating spikes a bit when he's on the court. So offensively and defensively, he's giving you something, and so far so good this season, Casey.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty much what we expected out of Patty, maybe a little bit better than we expected, because we've had a couple more of those nights where he's put up big performances. But largely for the most part, we know what we're going to get. And he's pretty much been consistent with that point as to what he has brought in several years before that, a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So credit to him. You mentioned the consistency aspect of it, and I think and the fact that he's been closest to that label of what we expected, so to speak, so to say that he's probably, I guess, kind of, he's certainly not the best of the bunch, but in terms of meeting the expectations, mm-hmm. I think that's certainly fair to say that he has.
I think he's exceeding expectations, for a team heavily relying on the young guards, we'll touch in a bit. He's, at times bringing more of the energy that you would think the young guys would bring. He's trying out there. He's trying to rally the troops when they're down. He has those intangibles that you want, especially from a veteran. And sometimes you don't get from these young guys. This season, in 25 minutes a game, he's averaging 14 points off the bench, close to 2 rebounds, 1.8, 2.8 assists, which that's pretty good. About 1.3 fouls a game. He only averages about a turnover a game, and he leads the team in charges taken, about 8+ right now. All in all, I think he's been, in my opinion, I think he's exceeded his expectation for him this season. Remember this too, he didn't play at all in the bubble last year. He was relegated to a coaching role, and that actually fueled him. And he even said it too, what fueled him more was the Spurs missing out the playoffs, because in his career, he's never gone a season without making the postseason. This was his first time.
Right.
You put it all together and you're getting more FIBA mills than you usually are. But it's funny though, I did ask Murray about FIBA Patty. Murray spoke to me. He goes, "You know what, Jeff? I see this every day. I don't buy into the FIBA thing because this is Patty Mills." Your thoughts, Casey?
I mean, I don't know about the idea of this is Patty Mills, because if this is Patty Mills, we would have much, I guess, a much higher expectation operating under the assumption that just about every night you're going to get FIBA Patty out there. But, mm-hmm. For however many years now, it's not been the case, nor should that have been really the expectation. But I think about a lot of the conversations that we had about Patty Mills going into the season, and I don't want to say he was an afterthought, but I felt like in many regards, we almost kind of referred to him as an expiring contract, soon to be buyout, where they would just give him the opportunity to leave and play for a contender. Mm-hmm. And that narrative's really kind of switched a little bit, because they've been playing well. Patty's been playing well. Whether or not he's here after the deadline, I think still remains to be determined. Again, that'll probably be his call. But I tend to lean more with you, the idea that, at worst, he's meeting expectations. And in reality, he's probably exceeding them. Yeah.
Yeah. You look what he does on the court for San Antonio. Whenever he scores 4 or more three-pointers, the Spurs are undefeated, 6-0. 19 or more points, the Spurs are 5-0. So you see his value there, how important he is to the Spurs' success, and him providing that punch off that bench. And the Spurs bench is one of the tops in the NBA as far as offensive production, largely in part due to him. He's doing it all off the bench, and best he could, representing the team just professionally off the court with his endeavors, and then on the court, bang up job. I'm gonna have to give Patty a solid A, man. I'm impressed. I like what I've been seeing out of Patty.
Yeah, I agree. The only reason I'm not going to give him an A is because I think you would have to infinitely exceed expectations to probably earn that. But he's played well. He has played well. So I'm going to give him a B. He's met the expectations. He's played better than it. I'm going to give Patty a B.
All right, let's move on to Derek White now. And look at him at the quarter point of the Spurs season. Now, look, Derek, injury-plagued season so far. He had off-season surgery on his toe, got it repaired. He didn't play any games in the preseason, didn't play any games and start the season. He comes back and bang, you know, he gets another break of a toe. Not the same toe, just the same similar injury. He's out again. And he's come back, and in that first return, he looked great. Double-figure scoring, that is the Derek White we know. But since he's been back, the Spurs have been 0-2, and he hasn't really looked himself since that first game. I know it's just been three games, Casey, but I'm quick to say give him an incomplete because we don't have a large sample size. But yeah, if you can just project it out, if he snaps out of this recent slump that he's in, I think the Spurs will be, well, very happy that he's back to being Derek White.
I would operate under that assumption at least. Definitely operate under that assumption. But I certainly agree in that it in terms of handing out a grade, you can't really do that right now. You haven't seen enough. But the thing that's a little bit cautionary, though, is that we knew it was going to take a little bit of an adjustment to iron these things out, accommodate him back, mix and match with the rotations in the lineup, still maybe get the Vassell minutes or whatever way you wanted to spin it. But in the process, I don't think we expected them to struggle the way that they did the past couple nights against Memphis, just getting absolutely smacked. I don't think any of us saw it going down like that. And in many regards, they've just been outplayed. And, well, yeah, no kidding, they've been outplayed. But from the just the defensive standpoint, I was going to say it hasn't really been competitive.
Right.
It hasn't really been competitive. Putting up a $133 the other night, blown out the day the night before. So that for me right now, in terms of White coming back and shaking off the rust, is a little bit concerning. And I think it'd be interesting to see how they look when they just get a different opponent, like they're going to do with Minnesota and going forward, how they work things out. But that's, from the looks of it, early going here in terms of getting him back, it's going to be a thing. It seems like it's going to be a thing, a little bit more of a complex situation that we may have expected, certainly from, you know, the way I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the Spurs are 0-3 now with White back. Losing to both games against Memphis and the game against the Lakers earlier this year, January 1. He's been averaging more than 20 points. I'm sorry, not 20 points, 20 minutes a game, excuse me. And his season high so far is 18 versus Memphis in that first Memphis series. But yeah, you know, you're looking at just his shooting, 2 for 10 in the second game against Memphis, 6 for 11 in the first game against Memphis, and then 3 for 9 against the Lakers in a loss. And yeah, you can definitely see that he just needs to get his legs back. Hopefully he doesn't break any toes along the way. So yeah, I think we're both in agreement. We're going to give Derek White an incomplete.
What's kind of the barometer, or I guess the gauge, when we can start giving him a grade? How many games do you think?
I want to give him at least about
15, 20.
I was going to say 12. I'm going to give him an extra 12 more games. Just, you know, around the 12, 15 mark, we should be able to see.
Because at that point, we'd hit the midpoint of the season, so we'd at least have a quarter of a season to judge.
Yeah, he'll have his own personal quarter season to look back.
Yes, when
we circle back to that topic. Yeah,
we'll wait mid-season, yeah.
All right, when we get back, we're going to continue our chat about the Spurs guards at the quarter mark of the Spurs season. Before we do that, look, the holidays are finally behind us, which means it's time to catch up with some much-needed sleep. Well, you can definitely do that by going to CBDPM. That's right. CBDPM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little bit before bed, I know Casey likes to do that. They got CBD bath salts now, Casey, which are
right up my perfect.
You know, Casey's gonna light some candles, open a good book, and just relax with some Epsom salt. Yep, and all that good stuff with CBD bath salt. So yeah, it's a luxurious experience for those who are interested in CBD bath salts. CBDMD is helping everybody relax and shed away all that holiday stress. So right, you can do right now, and to make things even easier to get this new year going in the right direction. They're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when they use promo code NBA at checkout. So go to cbdmd.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. We're back, and I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira, and hopefully today the new episode of Vieira's and SA is debuting, Casey.
Oh, not hopefully. It's up.
All right.
It's
up. There you go.
Yeah, it's up. Vieira's and SA. Vieira's and SA. You're gonna get that alert on your YouTube. You should have gotten it by now, but you will. You'll see. We're still trying to get that YouTube algorithm going. I can't figure it out. Well, actually, I have an idea.
It takes time, Casey.
That's all we need, right?
Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. New episode is up, though.
All right, we'll go check it out. And the best way to find it is simply following Casey on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. There he'll have a link or you can follow to check it out. Him and his wife doing their SA things as usual. All right, let's go to continue our look at the Spurs guards at the quarter point of the Spurs season. Shifting gears now to DeJounte Murray. Gotta say, wow, you know, I know maybe the last game against Memphis wasn't the greatest. And maybe that loss against Dallas definitely did not do well. You know, he got hurt. Thankfully, it was just a scare. But for a guy who was pretty much under the microscope heading into this season, I think Spurs fans, you, me, the rest of the league, coaches have, you know, just, you know, kudos. Good job, Murray. I mean, he took his game to the next level, Casey.
He's been good. Yeah. He's been good. And a lot of those nights, I think that's encouraging where – it's just not seeming to work, just an off night that all players have. He's bounced back nicely and it hasn't been just kind of one of those things we've seen with the younger DeJounte where if he has an off night, then it potentially turns into an off three nights before he figures things out. No, it's been an off night and it's been back showing up back to work the next day. Was it that Utah game before the road trip where he was like 1 of 13?
Yeah, right. Horrible game, yeah.
Right. And then subsequently they went on that road trip and he played very well. And part of the reason they went 4-1 on that road swing. I think if you're a Spurs fan, you're very much pleased with what you've gotten out of him because he's excelling on a lot of the areas that you wanted to see him excel at. He's scoring the basketball a little bit more efficiently. He's shooting the basketball a little bit, not infinitely better, but shooting it a little bit better. He's become a more productive rebounder. That's kind of one of those things we knew we expected him to do as well and grow with it. And the defense has been there. The only concerning aspect, I think, when you watch him, there's moments where the decision-making is still a little bit cautionary. You see it sometimes when they have numbers in transition and instead of maybe hitting an open wing on a 3-on-2, he'll go for a layup right in a double team or something yeah. like that. The decision-making at times is still a little bit of a question mark, but largely through this first quarter of the season, he's been good. He's really been good. DeJounte's had a lot of skeptics going into the season, and I think for the most part he's quieted those people.
He definitely has. You know, prior to the loss against Memphis, that being the second Memphis game, this NBA in the schedule, they have all these little mini series going on, so you got to be clear here. But before the last loss to Memphis, he went with 4 games in a row with double figure scoring. You know, 26 points was his best in that 4-game span. He's already had a pair of triple doubles. you know, making the NBA, well, Spurs records. That last time this happened was some guy named David Robinson did that. So DeJounte was the next. Yeah, it wasn't Kawhi. It wasn't Manu. It wasn't Tony.
Do you know what happened? You know what happened with Robinson?
What's up?
Where he went? Do you know? I'm asking that David Robinson.
Oh, sorry.
You know what happened? Yeah.
Yeah, he only became a
what he ended
gamer.
Up doing with? Oh, he did.
Yeah.
He did. Oh.
Yeah, he did. Mm. Yeah. Just
that's
like
that. Right. Yeah.
That guy.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I do disagree with you as far as the decision making is concerned. Now, do I see him do what you just described as far as going to traffic? You know, yeah, I've seen that a couple of times, but it's far less than what it was in previous years.
Right.
He's pulling back and he's dishing out. If he's penetrating, which you think that he's going to do one of those things, or I'm going to go 1-on-4 right now, he'll pass it out. And he won't try to complete it. And I think that decision-making has been one of the more impressive things about his game this year. Not to mention, too, he added a little two different things to his game. One, on the defensive end, his pick a pocket. You know, he's gotten a lot better at that. And then two, on the offensive end, he's developed a kind of a crossover jumper. I don't know if he caught it. He goes to that a little bit right in the mid-range, right below the three-point line. He'll cross up somebody and pull up for a mid-range shot, and usually it'll go down. So even if they don't go down, I'm just liking the fact that he's not just one gear, like attack the rim, slice, get to the rim. No, he's taking threes. We're seeing that this year. He's taking the mid-range shots. We're seeing it this year. And then defensively, well, you know, he's been an ace since he came into the league. You're looking at what he's doing this year, and it's, you know, a career high in scoring. 14.6 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, 5.2 assists. That's impressive. 1.3 steals. All in all, great season so far. And I think a lot of Spurs fans' hearts dropped when he got hurt against Dallas. But fortunately for him, he rebounded well. And he said he even used the Mamba mentality to come back and not let anything like that slow him down. Just how important he is on both ends of the court. Well, the Spurs are undefeated. They're 7-0 when he has 8 or more rebounds. Yeah. They're 4-0 when he has 8 or more assists. And they're 7-2.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They're 7-2 when he scores 6.
That one makes a little more sense. Yeah.
So, all in all, I mean, you like what you're seeing out of him. And, you know, we want to dig deeper now and go into, you know, how he fares against his contemporaries, the point guard spot. Well, he's 4th in rebounds among NBA point guards, 10th in steals, 4th in defensive rebounds. Those little things that you're seeing him develop, I mean, it's just great. Hopefully he can continue it. I'll give him an A.
I'm about to hit you with the most cliche coach speak analysis here.
Do it.
He's letting the game is slowing down and he's letting the game come to him. The most cliche answer you always hear from coaches post game talking about guys, and I'm going to hit you with it again because that's what's happening. And those decision making plays, I mentioned that they still happen, but they're few and far between. Instead of maybe 4 we would see last year that he would have, that's down to 1 or 2. And as a whole, it's helping infinitely. It's helping in many other aspects of the game. So I'm right there with you, Jeff. I got to give him an A as well.
All right. Hopefully Murray can get even better this year. You know, his trajectory, I would not be surprised if maybe not this year or next year, but if he starts getting some looks at possibly all-star bench role, not necessarily starter, but a bench role, if he continues this. I mean, he's on that path if he just sticks with it. And I think the big thing for him is still what's been the knock on him is just his shooting. If he can get some sort of – I don't care if it's the Bruce Bowen corner three, just something. Just something. He can
something.
Be something beyond that arc, and I think that'll do him well. Because he has everything. He's young. He's long. He's doing it on defense. He's doing it on offense. But when you break down the offense a little bit more, you know, just that outside shooting. But he's getting there. At least he's trying. All right, let's go to the Lonnie Walker talk. And look, in yesterday's Lockdown Spurs, well, somebody kind of agreed with Lonnie, but not really, but disagreed with you, but at the same time is agreeing with Lonnie. Some fan, you know, was asking, like, hey, who's this Casey Vieira guy, and why is he calling out Lonnie? Shout out to him. He's a really good guy. He's a faithful listener to Locked On Spurs. Kevin Ramo on Twitter at New Marcus Graham. He goes, "Hey Jeff, who's this Casey who's so hard on Lonnie Walker? He's averaging 12 to 14 points a game, playing good defense, has improved a jump shot. He talks about good Lonnie and bad Lonnie. We can say that about every player in the league. What's his deal? Care to react before we dive deeper into Lonnie Walker talk?"
Not really. I mean, okay. the only reaction I can give is just look at the last 10 games. The last 10 games, Lonnie has been below average. He has not been good Lonnie. He hasn't. And that's not me, I think, being hard or whatever was kind of thrown out or whatever was said. I mean, Lonnie has not played well. And I think that probably goes hand in hand with DeRozan after he came back from that mini hiatus to tend to his father. But after that, Lonnie, you just wonder how much of it is a role thing, I think, with him, or how much of it is just kind of just the struggle, just the fact that maybe he's in his own head, or he's maybe not what we think he is. I tend to disagree with that kind of thought process. I think Lonnie's a worthwhile investment, but it just hasn't been there. And the past 10 games, it hasn't been there neither. And the good Lonnie, bad Lonnie stuff is, again, something that's been a reiteration of him. That's been a reiteration of Pop. It's not a made up thing. It's something that they've talked about with his inconsistencies, and that's really the big drawback with him. That is, it's been the one real drawback with Lonnie Walker at this point in his career. Yeah. And it's just going to come down to, with him, how much will he be able to iron that out? Yeah, because I mean, every player does go through inconsistencies. We know that, but I think with the expectation and the label that a lot of us have put on Lonnie Walker, I think kind of the narrative has changed a little bit. I mean, maybe this is going to be Lonnie. Maybe this is just kind of how he's going to be, and this is the way his career is going to look like. An inconsistent offensive player who can hopefully find his way a little bit more on the defensive end. Lord knows he's got the strength and the size to do it. Maybe that's him. Maybe he continues to progress. I mean, again, this is only his third year in the business, so he's still very much a baby to this process. But again, Lonnie Walker last season was the most frustrating player to figure out when he did get time, and I think he's still maintaining that title going into this first quarter of the season. That we want to figure it out and just get some kind of rhyme or reason of what he is, but I mean, we don't really know yet.
Yeah,
we don't really know.
And I don't think he even knows, too, because I recently asked him, you know, "Hey, Lonnie, how would you evaluate your season up to this point?" And he said it again, inconsistent. So he's self-aware, and the Spurs are self-aware. Popovich even said it after a game. I forget which one it was, but saying that sometimes we have to tell Lonnie he belongs. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a role. I think it's within himself. And he just needs to, like, shed whatever is racking his brain right now and just be Lonnie. We know what he can do. Back-to-back 20-plus point outings in a loss against Minnesota and then in a win against Oklahoma City earlier this season. He follows that up with a 16-point game outing. And then he has, four or five games in a row of just, you know, just bad shooting, you know, low production on the offensive end. But defensively, though, do you have any? Well, actually, we'll save that. Save your thoughts for his defensive. We're not done with Lonnie yet.
Okay.
When we get back, we're going to continue looking at Lonnie Walker at the quarter point and then hear from Luka Samanić. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you may remember him, that guy. Yeah, he had some things to say now that the San Antonio Spurs, well, their G League affiliate, that is about to kick things off out in Orlando. But before we do that, let's talk about betonline.ag. That's the only one place you need to go that has you covered and the one place we trust. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. They're giving you money back, Casey. You cannot beat that. NFL games, NBA games, NHL is right around the corner. I mean, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. You want to go to betonline.ag right now and get on in the action. Use that promo code Locked On to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sports books experts. We're back, and I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter and YouTube star of Vieira's NSA. So,
hey, man, I said it before. What happens, you know, again, what happens if we actually make it? What happens? What am I then?
I already told you, you're times two.
Thank you. Two-time YouTube star.
Yeah, I'm actually getting that from one of my nerd anime shows, the Dragon Ball Z. You know, every time they want to go up a level, like I guess the animators or the script writers for these anime, they just always tack on a times two. So, for example, one of the characters is called Goku.
Right.
And he has this power called the Kaioken. Well, in order to up his power, the writer decided to say, okay, no, he increased his power. He's bigger than what he is, but he's Kaioken times five now. I get it. He's five times.
I feel like that's a very lazy way to say something. Right. You know? I feel like that's a very half-assed way of doing that. At least the Pokemon, they evolve into a totally different being. My goodness. It's like, times two. Thank you. Man.
All right. Well, let's continue.
But hey, you know what? Was Dragon Ball Z, you said?
Yeah.
Those guys have been around for, I mean, something's working for them. They still make new content there?
They still make new content and more is coming, but
joke's on me.
Yeah, we got to finish this content and wrap it up. Let's wrap up our look back at Lonnie Walker. Offensively, we know he can be inconsistent, and that's putting it lightly. But defensively, do you give him a nod for his defense?
Yeah, I do. And I think the main calling card for Lonnie Walker in this league is going to be his size and strength on the defensive side of the floor. And right now, I think you do give it a nod because he's certainly not a bad defender, but he's certainly not the Drew Holiday aspirations right now. Looking like Drew Holiday, as you would kind of expect for a third year guy, but I think he's got the intangibles and he's got the tools right off the bat to be a solid perimeter defender in this league. And if all these struggles and inconsistencies that you're seeing right now ultimately turns into Drew Holiday, I think you're thinking, all right, well, it was worth it. because we got a pretty good ball player in Lonnie Walker right now. But his size and his versatility at that standpoint, that's something that's only going to get better. And that athleticism, that's one of those, man, I'm all about the coach speak terms today, but the size and athleticism, it's one of those can't be taught kind of things.
Right.
You can learn schematics, you can adapt to schematics, but you can't adapt to 4% you can't adapt to 4% body fat or whatever it is. The dude's a specimen. But go back to your original question here. I do think defensively, he's taking steps. He's taking steps. I don't think defense is really the primary concern with him. I think it's just a matter of how efficient he's going to be long-term on the offensive side of the basketball.
Yeah, he's averaging about 11.7 points per game, a career high, 3.2 rebounds, 1.8 assists, and one turnover a game. Again, his team loves to preserve the ball, although of late they've been turning the ball over as a whole. But hey, you know, hopefully they'll fix that. Among his contemporaries, among other shooting guards in the league, he's 16th in blocks, 19th in fouls, and 29th in rebounds. So he still has a ways to go. He's still a work in progress. And overall, I'm going to think of a grade. C+? What are you thinking, Casey?
Yeah, that's actually what I was going for.
Okay.
Yeah, C plus.
Yeah.
C plus, because defensively, you probably give him a low B. Offensively, you probably give him a low C. Mm-hmm. You meet in the middle, call it a C+.
C+, yeah. So quick little tidbits about Lonnie Walker this season. The Spurs are undefeated 3-0 when he has two or more steals. They are 4-1 when he has five or more defensive rebounds, and 4-1 when he just has five or more rebounds in a game. And interesting, whenever he plays 26 or more minutes, KC, the Spurs are 10-4. So, something there. But all in all, yeah, Lonnie, you know, he's doing better, you know, but he still has a little ways to go before, getting a higher grade, because he definitely needs a higher grade from Locked On Spurs. Am I right, KC?
Yeah. Bar.
The bar said hello. I mean, hi. Excuse me. Let's go to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs with the other young guy on the Spurs roster, or in this case, the Austin roster, and that is Luka Šamanić. Now, Luka, as everybody knows, will be playing with the Austin Spurs after the team assigned him to play in the G League out in Orlando, the bubble. And, you know, Spurs fans right away, like, oh my God, look at this kid. You know, here's rookie Devin Vassell. He's getting more minutes than a guy who's already in the second year. What is going on? What is going on? Well, he has some things to say today or yesterday, I'm listening to this show, about the naysayers, what he expects from himself out in the G League. And before we play a little things, what he had to say, I just want to talk with you real quick, Casey. Are you on camp, you know, you're giving up on him, or your camp, no, he's a project?
Can I be on camp? I have no freaking idea.
Yeah. I think I'm there. I'm like, I don't know where to go with him.
Can we call that somewhere in the middle? I think it's certainly too early. I guess it's, I'm more camp, he's a project, because I think after a season and a half, one COVID season and a half, it's far too early to bail on a guy. But he definitely hasn't given one much reason to be overly optimistic. But on the contrary, what chance has he had? But on the contrary to that, yeah, maybe the reason he doesn't have all those chances is because he's not very good. we just don't know with this guy. And that's what's going to be fun to see with him at least getting some sort of relevancy with the G League bubble coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, before we hear from Luka, though, it was interesting to hear that he did say, whether it was in San Antonio or Austin, that he didn't care, that he just wanted to play basketball. Now, that could be the fact that he's just sitting on the pine all the time. But nevertheless, you know, he's embracing it. He didn't scoff at the idea that he's in the G League and his contemporary, Keldon Johnson, is still with the San Antonio team. And he was also asked about that. Like, hey, well, you're seeing the guy that you got drafted with, Keldon, have all the success. He responded by saying, A, he's happy for Keldon, and then B, that he would like to be more like Keldon, aggressive, competitive, relentless. So he's aware of what he needs to do, but it's about getting the time on the court, and that's where I stand with him. I don't know how to make a proper judgment when, through no fault of his own, there's a pandemic. No fault of his own, well, that's the Spurs process. They stick you in Austin. No fault of his own, there's a bubble. You know, and yeah, he got assigned to Austin. Not by his choice, the team chose to do that. So I think I want to give him one more year and see where he's at. But I think the clock is ticking. So with that being said, let's hear what Luka had to say to the media yesterday from Orlando.
It was a little tough, but other than that, it's exciting. You know, you get to play again. So it doesn't matter what the environment is. It's just, as long as you get on the court, I think that's the most important thing. So it's exciting. It's to improve in what I didn't do good last year, didn't do good. I think that's one way to say it. But I think my biggest thing is just to be a good teammate this year, better teammate than I was last year, better effort, you know, and show it every game, not to have any like going, you know, having a great game and then two solid games. I just want to, but when I say great game, I mean great effort wise. So just prove myself I can be a good defender. I can, you know, play from 1 to 5 and just bring the effort every game. Well, yeah, I was first 7 games of the bubble. I was not playing. And then the last game I did, I was just waiting for my opportunity and it came. I think I did all right in the game, but it was, you know, it was just one game. So confidence wise, it was a long time ago. So, I showed myself that I can do it. And then now you just, you know, NBA, the life of, you know, an athlete, you have to prove yourself every, you know, if not every day, just every game. So it's just a new, you know, new game every day. So home for a few weeks.
Interesting. And that was a quick little soundbite from Luka, but he's using words there, effort, consistency. Maybe he's revealing what the Spurs are seeing out of him.
I was thinking the same thing. I think we're getting a little bit of a keyhole view into why we're not seeing him and why he's not getting this time on the floor in any capacity. And I thought that was telling from that standpoint, because it's either that or he's been scrolling through Twitter on his phone and he's been seeing those things too. Clearly he's aware that the criticism is there, whether it's been coming from the team itself or he's, again, paying attention to social media to what's being said. He knows it's one of those things. Now, hearing that, it sounds like he knows what needs to be done, which I guess is encouraging that he's cognizant of what needs to be done. But on the other side of the spectrum, saying and doing, as we all say, is not, they're not the same thing. Right. So now finally he's going to get that chance down in Florida.
Well, here's what he had to say about his naysayers and about social media, Casey.
For everything, you know, people just assume stuff, and it's, you know, I guess since the social media today, you can, you know, you can make yourself look like whatever you want, and what you see on social media is not real. So it's, you know, I don't mind whatever anybody says. It's not important, you know.
Not important right now. So I mean, he's aware of the criticism he gets, but he's dismissive.
I led you right into that.
Yeah, you did. You did a really good job. You did a phenomenal job. But nevertheless, so he's aware. He knows what he has to do. But I'm with you too. I mean, you can talk all you want, Luka. Now's the time to shine. And you're going to get a good chunk of that time to shine, hopefully, in the G League. Now, the one thing I temper, though, is Spurs fans are probably going to see him have a damn good game and think he's the next coming. Remember, it was himself who said that he compares himself to Andre Kirilenko and Kevin Durant on draft night. You were there with me, Casey, in Brooklyn.
I was.
Yeah, and I thought that was a little wow, you know, when he said that. But, you know, I don't have the soundbite queued up, but nevertheless, he did was asked about that again, like if he could compare himself to another player, and he did not. He refused to. So maybe he humbled a little bit since we last saw him on draft night. Nevertheless, though, I spoke with Coach Matt Nielsen a couple days ago, and in that conference call hosted by the Spurs, the coach says he's looking at Luka to kind of be the center point because of his experience in San Antonio and in Austin. I think this is going to bode well for him this season. I think this time in Austin or in Orlando is going to do wonders for him. Now, the thing is that the Orlando G League this season is short and quick. I think it's like a month and a half at most. And if the Austin Spurs do make the playoffs, it's single elimination. It's like college basketball style NCAA tournament. So he'll be back in San Antonio rather fast. You just hope that the time in Austin that he makes the best of it, Casey.
Yeah, and this is good for him. This is good for him. This is good for Trey Jones. This is good for every young guy on any roster sitting in spot number 14 and 15 on the roster. This is good. And pertaining, of course, back to, you know, more directly to Luka again, this is really his best opportunity to show that he's got a place on this team.
He was picked right ahead now, of Keldon. Let's not forget that.
He was picked ahead of Keldon. I mean, so the Spurs clearly saw something in him to do what they did and taking him 19 overall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
19 overall. So they clearly had some faith in him to at least view him as a competent player in this league. But right now, who knows with that faith anymore? Clearly it's not as high as it was, but we'll see. I think this is good for him. I think this is good because some playing time whether it be in San Antonio or in Florida in the bubble, some playing time is better than no playing time at all. And if that's his best track to getting time on the floor, you got to take advantage of it. Now it's a matter of him doing exactly that.
Yeah, and mind you, he put up good numbers in Austin last year, double-figure scoring. He had several double-doubles. It was almost a daily thing. And that was him being second fiddle to Keldon, and he put up those numbers. So now he's going to be the primary focus, and I think that's going to do wonders for his confidence, for his consistency that he wants to be. And hopefully, when he gets back, he'll be able to get some meaningful minutes in an NBA game. I doubt that'll happen, considering the way Devin Vassell's been playing in his rookie season. But we'll see, yeah. But I think all eyes will be on Luka out in Orlando with the Austin team. We're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the grades we gave out for the Spurs guards at the quarter mark of the season, or at least a little past it? What do you think about Lonnie? You agree with us? What do you think about Patty Mills coming off that bench? The old man still has it. We need to hear from you. Also, what do you think about Luka Saminich out in Orlando with the Austin team? You heard a little bit from him. You heard a little bit of what he has to say about the naysayers. Are you on camp? He's a prospect. Give him time. Or camp, nah, he's a, you know, what a bust and it's over. We need to hear from you. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, and subscribe to all the Locked On NBA Network shows, whether it be Locked On NBA shows, Locked On NFL shows, Super Bowl's around the corner. There's that thing, Casey. So go check out all stuff that's going on there. And while you're at it, make sure to go check out Locked On Today. Locked On Today is a brand new show on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's pretty much all the sports news you need in less time, in about 20 minutes. Hosted by Peter Bukowski. It's pretty much everything you need. You know, what better way to start off your day to catch up on all the things you may have missed in the world of sports by going to Locked On Today. Subscribe to it wherever you get your favorite podcast. Casey, tell us about you and Vieira's in SA.
Vieira's in SA. Got a couple new episodes coming to you every week. New one going up today. Follow us on Instagram, Vieira's in SA. And if you want to track us down on the YouTube machine, do exactly that, same title, Vieira's in SA, and follow me on the Twitter machine if you're a Lonnie Walker enthusiast, and talk to me at Casey_Vieira.
Yeah, the gentleman who listens to Locked On Spurs, he's now where you responded, so expect a response.
Oh, okay. Casey. Hey, so. it's all love, man. Don't take it personal.
All right. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.